The story of the garden in Genesis is the story of brokenness. And as such, it is a story that we all know too well. We know this story in our very bones. It's a story of how brokenness came into being in the first place. In the beginning, it was good when God created. It was good every single day that God created. And everything that God created was very, very good. And then we broke it. Yes, we ate of the tree. And that was bad enough. But it was not the end of the story. We felt our nakedness. We saw our vulnerability. Because of that, we were afraid when God started walking around the garden. We were never afraid before this, mind you. We got along just fine. This was a new phenomenon, and that was bad. And then we made it worse. We tried to push off the responsibility. Well, it was the serpent that made me do it. Well, it was the woman that you gave to be with me. She gave me of the fruit of the tree, and I ate. I didn't give myself this woman. You gave her to me, God. What were you thinking? If she hadn't been around trying to trick me, who knows how long this thing would have lasted? It was the serpent, or as Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. We couldn't even own up to our own mistake. We couldn't just stand there naked and reveal the naked truth of what we had screwed up on that day. Who knows what would have happened had we done that? Had we owned up? Perhaps if we had had the fortitude to confess our wrongdoing and ask God for forgiveness, things might have not been as broken as they became. Or at least the brokenness could have been addressed. And the painful process of repairing that brokenness, of repairing the relationships, could have begun either there in the garden or east of it. But no, instead we began with fear and finger pointing. Or put it another way, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Which, if you think of it, describes what is going on today in the households of our homes, of our churches, of our workplaces, of our community, our nation, and our world. It's hard, you see, to live together in a community. And whether we like it or not, we are the ones who do the bidding of the one that we call Diablo, the prosecutor, the tempter, the serpent. When it comes down to it, we choose how we will deal with the truth, not how God would have us deal with the truth, which is to own up to it. If we choose to allow the inevitability of division to dominate our way or our being in the world today, then what Jesus claims when he says a house divided will not stand will come true. It cannot last. You see, there are people in our lives, and we all know this, who seem to thrive on disagreement. They thrive on division. There are churches, there are institutions like Congress that would rather find any and all reasons for discord than they would to try and heal the situation. They are more concerned with proving themselves right to justify their own positions and their own beliefs than they are in doing the hard work of searching for possible agreements. We know these people. We know these types of churches. And we certainly know Washington. And they offer the real possibility, folks, of destruction from which no reconciliation can be made. Because that is the issue, is it not? To seek paths of possibilities that lead to relationships means that the end result would be the hard, hard work of doing relationship maintenance, relationship building, getting to know one another, spending time with each other, learning how to trust each other, which means also telling the truth, especially about ourselves. You see, life after there's been a rupture, after there's been a disagreement and reconciliation is not about forgetting what has happened. It's not about pretending that nothing happened. It's about letting go of the fact that the past can now be changed because it can't. And choosing to live in the present reality that the relationship has in fact changed, and now what do we do about it? It can never go back to the way it was before. Never will. Yet many would rather sever that tie altogether than live with the memory of the ties that were broken, because they're too painful. Many would rather abandon people than and a community for their own self-justification than to admit their own contributions to the problem. And many would rather stir up the proverbial pot than find opportunities for kindness, graciousness, and gratitude. Do you think this describes what's happening, at least in Washington? I do. And I think it filters down from there into everything else that we do. The fact is, we are in a constant state of relational negotiations, aren't we? We're constantly having to negotiate with one another the terms of our living together. The question is, how do we choose to live in a state like that? To pretend that it does not exist and that everything is just hunky-dory? Or to recognize its constant existence? In other words, we are constantly having to work at loving one another. To ignore its difficulty or to search in the difficulty for finding love. To fear the challenges that lie ahead of us or to accept them and deal with their reality, rather than trying to point fingers. And when I think of this, I'm not thinking of our particular congregation, I'm thinking of our presbytery, right? One of the things that I see in our country and our local setting often is this desire to find fault and blame and then assign it and then think we've dealt with it and it's all gonna be fine, but it won't be. The reason it won't be is because the relationships are the issue. The relationships need to be addressed. You see, in the end, here's the thing of it, really. We all stand naked, don't we, before God? Do any of us really think that God doesn't know who we are? Does anybody here really think that we fool God at any time by what we say to one another that's a half-truth or, you know, holding back of what we really are about? We might fool everybody around us, even our neighbors, but we're not going to fool God, ever. But we don't need to stand in front of God in fear either. That's the other part of this story that we need to take away from. And we shouldn't do anything, really, but realize our own fault in the situations in which we find ourselves. When it is in fact our fault, when it is in fact something that we've contributed to, even if it's been by our silence, our acquiescence. Only then can brokenness be repaired. Only then can we get on with reconciliation and movement forward. And then, it's not the devil that made me do it, but Christ. Amen.